say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue and Dr. Edelstein. And we're pre-recording. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Did you notice it's raining like heck outside? Did you see that? Now, when people hear this, it may be sunny and 90 degrees.
Yeah.
But right now, it's raining outside.
Yep.
And I've maintained for a long time, because I've been doing these shows, a lot of these shows for a long time, that you want good atmosphere when you do the show. It's wonderful if it's beautiful outside, sunny. I'm serious. You know, people just seem to be in a good mood. And I'm in a good mood now, even though the weather's rather glum out there. But I do think that somehow it affects people's moods. Are you weather sensitive, would you say?
I don't like storms. I've been in a couple of tornadoes. As a matter of fact, we were in downtown Atlanta. Dr. Edelstein was speaking at a very large dental convention, and the tornado came right through. I saw it. We were downtown to support him while he was speaking. Opened the curtains. There's the tornado swirling in Centennial Park.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it was like...
Is this one where all those windows got broken?
Yes,
sure was.
Well, and Dr. Edelstein can probably tell a funny story, because I knew he was at a black tie affair for his colleagues and their wives, and he was speaking. I saw the windows blown out in the part of the hotel he was staying in. I called, Dr. Edelstein, where are you? There's been a tornado. I don't think you heard me right. I don't think you believed me. No, I'm not kidding. There's been a tornado. They were in the aquarium, maybe?
We were at another event.
Yeah.
It was the Coca-Cola building, actually.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. And now that you brought it up, I have to tell the funny story.
Yeah, it's really funny.
The funny story is we were staying at the Omni. We were like on the 16th floor or so, and they wouldn't let us go upstairs because a lot of the windows were blown out, and they had to make sure the building was sound. And they... About 12, 1 o'clock, they did let us into the stairwells. So, and I was speaking, I was lecturing. So the first thing I did is, oh my gosh, I hope my computer's okay, because I'll need that to give a presentation.
How many people are you speaking to?
Well, the first presentation I gave, that was Friday night. I think there were 600 people in the room.
Hey.
That was fun.
Yeah, you sure don't want that computer breaking down.
Right.
You can speak to 600 people.
No.
Right. So they let us in a stairwell, and I'm basically bolting upstairs, and Amy got ready in a hurry, because we were like 10 minutes late for an event related to the program. So she got ready in a hurry, and I've run up the stairs, and she's kind of trying to follow behind me. I get off on the 16th floor or 12th floor, whatever. I get off, I open the door, and the room was a wreck. It was a mess. Mm. I mean, there was stuff all over the place, and there was clothes all over the place, and undergarments all over the place, and it was just, it was a wreck. And I looked, and the window was intact. And at this point, Amy walks into the room, and I said, "Honey, how come it's like this? It looks like a tornado hit." And she giggled a little bit, and she said, "That's how I left it." So it was tornado Amy hit the room while she was getting ready.
Under the act of God provision, you know, the yes. undergarments all over the
yeah.
place.
Yes, and yes.
What were you speaking about?
I was speaking.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I was speaking. One program was about regenerative periodontal procedures, regenerating bone and soft tissues around the teeth. Another program was digital photography, and I use a lot of digital photography in my office. It helps us treatment plan cases, and we work with patients a lot in planning their case. And another program I gave was about periodontal disease, what we've been talking about. Last program and what we'll be talking about this program.
Now, how did you get chosen to speak on these particular matters, these issues?
Well, it gradually evolved. I spoke at a couple of little local study clubs here and there, and some of the people responsible for programming in bigger meetings were there, and they asked me to give a program, and I ended up on a few occasions, I guess three or four occasions, speaking at the Hinman Dental Meeting, which is the biggest program in the Southeast for sure. And there were scouts there from a dental meeting in New York and a dental meeting in Chicago and Boston and Hawaii, as well as California. So I've been to all these places giving programs.
Really? You've spoken all over the country?
Yes, yes.
Wow. And the scouts find you and ask you to come and...
Yes.
They discover you and say, hey, would you come and speak at a symposium in...
Pretty much.
...Chicago or...
Pretty much. It's a little different than that, with kind of an initial phone call, are you interested, and then a more formal letter, are you really interested, and then you get a final contract, which, because they want to count on you just as much as you want to count on being there.
Do you enjoy doing it?
I do. It's
because there's your peers there watching you, and then sometimes they could have their hands folded, kind of.
They can.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or they can be sleeping, but but I try to make the programs lively and energetic enough.
But it's something to be speaking in front of your peers, I think, you know.
These
are not laymen. These are intelligent people.
Jeff, that's been thrilling to have an opportunity to share your clinical expertise with colleagues and friends in the industry. That's been truly a thrilling experience to have that honor.
You know, you mentioned last week in our show that, you know, I said, well, can somebody email you an x-ray at another dentist or something else, a photograph or whatever? I said, you know, from Marietta, they can send it to you in Buckhead. And you said to me, well, they can send it to me from Chicago and
yes.
Boston or whatever. And this happens in your practice from time to time.
It happens every day, where we'll be emailing x-rays or photographs back and forth, or CT scans we can email that as well. So this clinical information can be transferred via email, and it's an incredible tool that we can discuss different aspects of cases with different colleagues all over the country or the world.
What exactly is a periodontist? I have a very good idea what it is, I think, but I'd like to hear it from you, and don't mind being a clinical, because I'm very interested to know exactly what it is that a periodontist does.
As a periodontist, I treat the gums, bone, and the roots of teeth, and probably about 50% of what we do is to repair problems, either infections or congenital problems associated with the tissues around the teeth. And about 50% of what we do is to prevent people from needing the first 50%. And our academy is about to have a name change, by the way. We're changing from the American Academy of Periodontology to the American Academy of Periodontology and Implantology, because my practice and the practices of many of my periodontal colleagues has evolved to include a good number of implants as well, which has revolutionized our profession.
You said congenital. You mentioned that.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're sometimes born with
yes.
abnormalities in the mouth.
Yes, it's very common for someone to have a lack of gum tissue. So we need to, a healthy tooth needs to have a certain amount of gum tissue around it. So that is one congenital problem that we would repair. Some people are born without teeth, and we are called upon to replace those missing roots with implants that can subsequently be restored.
Yeah. Born without teeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember I have two grown daughters, and thank God they're both very healthy, but... Remember the first one, you know, I was always very paranoid about things. You know, we had a baby book that said they should do this at this age and that at that age. And, you know, at the time, I mean, I really took it as gospel, you know. And it said that they should have their first tooth by, I think they said, like, I don't know, 8 months. I'm just guessing. But I remember my daughter was a little bit older than that. She was like 10 months. I said to myself, you know, so I don't think she's going to have teeth. I think something's wrong here. You know,
that's funny.
Early in my career, I worked for a pedodontist who is a specialist in children's dentistry, and kids will absolutely make or break your day. Those were fun years.
I've asked you before, Sue Skipper, what is your function at the practice? And you said, well, it's pretty much everything except, you know, the office work.
Yep.
Okay. So what is the attitude of people when they walk in? You know, it's not always the most positive experience that everybody's looking forward to, you know?
You know what? There are patients that do come in, and, you know, they will say, I would rather be doing blankety blank.
I'd rather go to a funeral.
It's the first words out of their mouth. They're afraid, and it's okay. I love working with people. I'm fascinated by the human psyche, and I get that. You know, we've worked very, very hard to embrace where our patients are at and turn that around. And we've really worked hard to create, you know, a very positive, fun, dynamic atmosphere and make it exciting. You know, coming to see the gum doc, it should be fun.
Do you ever, Dr. Edelstein, do you ever have a situation where the patient is so nervous, and maybe they don't know you, and they've never had this kind of work done before? You have to take a few minutes and actually sit and explain to them what's going to happen and go through they need to know every little thing and what are you going to do to prevent discomfort because they hate needles or whatever?
That happens frequently. And just as frequently, we hear patients that don't want to know anything.
Yeah.
So you have
don't really, tell me anything.
Right, yeah. Don't tell me anything. So our challenge is figuring out which patient is which and helping each different personality type with the information that they need to make the best decision for them.
All right, we've got to take a break right now. When we come back, I'd like to ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. And Sue, you can opine on this too. In what situations do you have to knock somebody out? In what situations do you not knock them out, but put them into such a state that they really don't quite know exactly what's going on? And in what situations, maybe it's important that they have to be wide awake because you need to get some feedback from them, or you just need them to be in full control of their faculties if that ever comes into play. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Their practice is located on Peachtree Street, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington. Boy, Sue, we're giving a lot of publicity to Darlington.
Yes, exactly. They need it, the poor little place now. It's not quite the place of fame it was back in the 60s and 70s.
I know, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Practice is located, the practice is just called Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
Yes.
By the way, do you enjoy that? You know, I've always told people, even though I'm general manager of this radio station, I don't own the station. The owner lives 3,000 miles away, and I seldom see him at this point. But I've told my daughters, go into business for yourself. You know, don't work for a big company, and then you don't have much control over your situation. You got to come in twice a week. You got to be there twice a week for a sales meeting, and then they give you a budget that you got to reach, and then somebody's stealing your accounts if you're in sales, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm talking about. And there's probably, even among dentists, there's probably some professional jealousy at times, et cetera, et cetera. But do you enjoy being on your own, so to speak?
Yes, I do.
Would you have it any other way?
No, I would not. It's been thrilling as well as challenging, and sometimes more thrilling than others and sometimes more challenging than others. So, but, it's all things considered, it's been a pleasure to own my own business and be responsible for my patients in a very personal way. A topic for another program, it might be the inroads that corporate dentistry is trying to make in the dental practice, because that is another challenge that we have in dentistry.
But you want to know something? My general practitioner, doctor, MD, great guy. Saw him for years. He owned his own practice. I wasn't his patient at the time. But he no longer owns his own business. It's owned by one of those big conglomerates, okay? And he's an employee. It's basically what it is. Subject to all the rules of the place. You know, I don't know if he feels like going home one day at 2 o'clock and, he can't. I don't know if he can. He might have to stay there all day or whatever. He doesn't fix the hours, when they see patients. But he said that he had no choice, basically, because the sole practitioner, at least, as a general practitioner in medicine, it was becoming more and more difficult for them to survive.
Yes, I think there is that type of thing going on in dentistry today, and I think that type of dentistry is definitely has its challenges. And let's just say that I'm delighted that I'm in the position I'm in, and I don't need to do that.
No, because you've been in practice for many years now. You have a large practice, successful practice built up. So you can do it the way you want to do it, at the highest level of professionalism.
And I can recommend and deliver the treatment the patients need.
I mean, is it going to be like Walmart at some point? And I'm serious. Look, I know pharmacists who work for Walmart.
Yeah.
They don't consider it very professional.
Right.
Optometrists, they're working for Walmart, you know?
Right.
I am delighted that there are choices right now, Jeff, because people are perfectly happy shopping at a Family Dollar store or Family Tree, and there are people that wouldn't think of shopping there. They want to go to Neiman Marcus or Nordstrom's. They want a quality experience and quality products. And I view dentistry the same way. There are options for what people want and desire. And I'm just delighted that I'm in a position to provide the best treatment and the best environment and help.
So back to my original question. I have a tendency to digress from time to time, uh-huh. So maybe I'll throw this one at you, Sue Skipper.
Sure.
So when do you make the decision to sedate, to knock somebody out, as opposed to make them, what's the term, you know? It's like you're on Valium or something. And
yeah,
you're...
sedation is the professional term that we would use. There are various levels of sedation. We never make that decision for our patients or impose that upon them. We really leave it up to them. Honestly, we really do a pretty good job to where people really don't need a lot of sedation. I would say 65% of our patients will just use local sedation, to use the word.
So anesthetic, Novocaine or
Novocaine injections, those are all umbrella terms. Injections and make them numb in the area that we work in. Probably 65-70% of our patients will do just that, and they're comfortable doing that. I mean, the technology today in dentistry and the procedures that we do, it's so much easier. It's so much more streamlined. It's not difficult to deliver good care in an environment where people don't have to be afraid. Mm-hmm. It really isn't difficult to do that. But for the patient who's nervous, and they will let you know.
Do you have someone who walk in and just from the moment they walk in, they say, I want to be knocked out.
Absolutely, yes.
I'm not going to accept anything
absolutely.
Less than.
Absolutely. Happens really just once in a blue moon. And we have on board a fabulous sedation team, IV sedation team. Dr. Ilstein's licensed to do it, but he prefers when he's doing an IV sedation case to focus on his dentistry, and let's bring in those guys to focus on the patient sedation and their health. You know, we can do something in between. We have nitrous, laughing gas. That's what everybody knows it as. You had it as a kid. We can do oral sedation. You take a pill the night before, one the morning of, you're in a happy place, you're relaxed, you're calm. You don't really mind. You may fall asleep.
Do you need to have somebody drive you home?
You do.
Home.
With oral sedation, yes. And IV sedation, yes. Nitrous oxide, the beautiful thing about that is no, you don't. It works instantly. It dissolves, so to speak, instantly. It's pretty safe to use. It's easy. I mean, we wonder why it's not used in medical offices for minor surgical procedures. It's so easy to administer.
I mean,
aren't our fellow medical colleagues
laughing gas
on board? Yeah.
I mean, I've had fluid drain from my knees, and why don't orthopedists have it for little procedures?
Okay. Sodium pentothal,
cortisone injections. That's an IV.
Sodium pentothal.
Well,
the truth serum. Do they say
I think
things?
That's right.
That
yeah.
That, that's
yeah.
what that's what they called it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it work out that way? Do they tell
well,
you things?
Well, we don't. That, yeah, that's.
We don't ask anything.
No, it's just not used in our form of IV sedation. We use the propofol, the Michael Jackson sedation, which actually is a very easier sedation. It's nicer. It's kinder.
It's safe.
So it's safe. It's easy to use. We've got a great team.
We have our team includes a full anesthesiologist that comes in and does the and monitors the patient.
And excellent. A tech and a nurse. I mean, they're well taken care of under IV sedation in our office. It's impressive. Very impressive.
Now, how about for those who are just getting Novocaine?
Yeah.
So I'm usually in that category. But now here's a this is a real Bush question. But I mean, can I raise my hand?
Yeah. And say,
oh, why not? Can I take a break here for a second? Can I spit this stuff out or whatever I got to do?
Sure.
You know?
Always.
You know what I'm talking about?
Always. Always.
Sure. So I'm just telling you, when I was a kid growing up in Levittown, Pennsylvania, we only had one dentist, I think, there in town. He was kind of an older guy, kind of surly, you know, kind of crotchety. And he ran the show, and you didn't have much say in the matter, you know? You know what I mean? He stopped when he felt like it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know that?
Yeah, and for our patients that have that baggage, we do have, that's why we have sedation available. It's interesting that a lot of the younger patients do not have that baggage that you have. So
I've been traumatized from my childhood. It's the truth.
A lot of people,
And that's not uncommon, and that's why we have choices available. And I would say 99% of the time we give patients what they need and want, and they're very happy.
Is there a term, this has definitely got to be a layman's term, but it's like getting your gums scraped. You ever heard that? You know, I had my gums scraped 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The fella said, he was a periodontist too, that I always had the beginnings of gum disease and so on and so forth. And it was rough. I got to tell you, it was really, I couldn't believe it. I mean, this guy was beating the heck out of me, and it was extreme, and I'm not a shrinking violet here. You know, got a pretty good tolerance for pain, but it was rough.
I hate to hear stories like that.
I'm thinking that it was probably a curettage type procedure, and we haven't been doing that procedure routinely in 25 years.
He did one quadrant each time.
Yeah,
but it was.
Yeah, that's that.
I came out feeling like I'd just done 15 rounds with Lennox Lewis or something.
We don't recommend or provide anything close to that. And as a matter of fact, almost all of our procedures, we may give them something a little stronger for pain management, but most of our patients do great on over-the-counter medications, and they're out and about by the next day for the majority of our procedures. Isn't that right,
Sue? Surgical procedures. Now, scalings, scrapings, as Jeff referred to it as. Yeah. I've been there 20 years. I've never had a patient request pain medication after a scaling. You know, scraping your word, scaling our word.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. It should be easy to do. You know, we feel like our staff is trained. Hopefully, if someone is trained, it can be delivered kindly, gently, with minimal discomfort. It's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Like kinder, gentler, you know.
It should be that way.
George H.W. Bush.
You know?
You know what? After he said that, I'll never forget that 20-something years ago. Mm-hmm. I walked into my the office, and I said, we're going to have a kinder, gentler office now. that was kind of the phrase for a month or two.
We all had heard that phrase the night before.
Yes, absolutely.
From George H.W. Bush. And we're going to take a break. I've got a question I want to pose to you, though. Think about this during the break, folks. And it's kind of a sensitive question, and that is, I interviewed an HVAC company some time ago, and they told me that sometimes they're called in by the customer to come in and fix work that somebody else has messed up. You know, what do they call it? Like kind of coming in behind them.
Yeah.
And just kind of fixing up the mess that's been created. I know it's a sensitive area, because sometimes we get into legal issues and, you know, what is considered malpractice or what is considered the standard for the industry. I understand these things, but I do want to tackle it when we come back, if you don't mind. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Their office is located on Peachtree, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, right next to the Darlington. I just passed it today. I was driving up Peachtree to Fresh Market. You know where that is? Isn't that right near you all?
Yeah, sure. Walking distance. Mm-hmm.
And
our lunch spot.
Well, there you were. It's a great, great place. Nice and cool in there. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. I love that URL, mygumdoc.com. You know why you have that? You know why you were able to get that? Because you you reserved it back when you were first doing this.
Probably so.
Well, yeah. A patient helped me. I complained because when we were first thinking about getting a website and a domain, GumDoc was taken. It was a periodontist in California. And I said something to a patient who was pretty savvy, and he said, well, why don't you see if my GumDoc is taken? And it wasn't.
Wow.
I think that was right after, was it MySpace? There was something with My in it that was big for a while. And he said, well, why not my GumDoc? And sure enough, it was available. So
I have to grab it. You know what I mean? It could be 5 minutes later, it could be gone.
I grabbed
taken.
It. Yeah, you better believe it, pretty quick.
Excellent. So you have a lecture coming up for the public on September 10th. It's a Thursday, September 10th. At 6:30 p.m., perfect time, by the way, because I get off work, quarter to six.
We want to make it easy for people to be able to attend.
I hate when they're at 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? And things going to go on till 10.
Waste time.
Sure.
And I want to. I like to get to bed early, get up early, work out.
Drop by after work.
Yeah.
I work out. I get up very early in the morning and work out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to believe. I don't look it, but I do. I work out.
We're planning the lecture to be an hour and a half, maybe an hour and three quarters at the most. And it's going to be a lecture devoted to giving people information on implants. There's a lot of questions out there that people have about implants, and we'll be providing information on implants, either one implant, many implants, or a full mouth of implants. As I mentioned, the American Academy of Periodontology is changing their name to include implants. My practice, as many periodontists, has evolved to include probably about 60% of my practice is devoted to either implants or grafting prior to implants. So it's become a big service that we provide, and a lot of people have questions and concerns, and the programs are devoted to help people understand what they are. They're a marvelous thing to replace teeth. It's revolutionized the dentistry, and we'll be serving heavy appetizers, cash bar.
And boy, you're at a great restaurant, Brio. That's one of my favorites.
The program is complimentary. Sue, when are the programs?
Thursday, September 10th. It's the second Thursday of September, October, and November. So it'll be Thursday, September 10th, Thursday, October 8th, Thursday, November 12th. 6:30, Brio. As Dr. Edelstein said, really, we've got some fabulous appetizers. We're available.
Complimentary.
You've done these before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fully complimentary. And all that we ask is that folks call or email the office and just reserve a seat because space is limited.
Yeah.
How many people are there usually, generally?
We hope to get over 30. So that would be a good program.
Yeah.
Do you get people, are they asking a lot of questions, by the way?
Yeah. Sorry.
Firing questions at you about maybe sometimes about their own situation. Do people come up to you afterwards?
What they usually say is, "I have a friend."
I know what you mean.
I have a friend with So there's a little.
But yet they have the space and the gap here on the side of their mouth.
I love that.
Well, you can tell your friend.
Your friend sounds like a terrible person.
Could benefit from some implants. Let them know.
By the way, and this is rather distasteful, but is there financing available? Because I know that, look, if you're going to bring quality to people with the top technology, okay, this is not like going to a department store and buying a shirt. You know, it can be rather expensive. It can be rather pricey. You even mentioned, an entire mouth of implants. Are there any arrangements that people can make financially?
It is. We have really gone all out to try to make state-of-the-art treatments available as well as affordable. We have a new patient special that we've had for about 6 months. We will give a comprehensive new patient exam, x-rays, photographs, even a CT scan if that's indicated, if it's an implant case, all for $129.
Wow.
It's about $650 worth of diagnostic materials and time. And so that's our new patient special. We've been very successful at, and we've helped people greatly with it. We'll give 10% off for anything over $2,000. We'll give 10% off as long as there's no financing to try to give people a break. And if there is financing necessary, we can offer interest-free financing for up to a year, which actually isn't interest-free because we pay the interest. We pay 10%. That's where that 10% goes.
So for the patient, it is interest-free.
It's interest-free for the patient, and the practice will pay the 10% interest, and they can finance it interest-free for a year to the patient.
Is it fair to say that there's really no reason why a person can't get this done if they if they're so motivated to get it done?
There's a lot of reasons, you know, to do it, and there's compelling reasons not to avoid it. Yes.
Yeah.
I take it if a person has periodontal disease and it's getting worse, you know, it's progressing. Procrastination is one of the worst things, you know, just keep putting it off and putting it off.
The treatment only gets more advanced, more complicated, with less predictable results.
More costly.
And more costly. It honestly, early treatment
and
is
look, we
always
said,
the best.
We said last week, too, you know, I'm looking at some of these byproducts of periodontal disease, which is of epidemic proportions in our society. Heart attacks, strokes, kidney disease, erectile dysfunction, arthritis. I think you even mentioned a few others last week. If these aren't enough, you know.
Absolutely.
And the inflammation, how does that work? Is it, in other words, I know that it was a breakthrough, I guess, in medical research when they discovered that people like have a certain like inflammation sometimes in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sometimes emanating from the gums?
Actually, it was about 11, 12 years ago, Time magazine did a cover story on chronic inflammation in the body and some of the far-reaching effects that may have. And do you know what they quoted three times in that article as being the most common cause for inflammation, chronic inflammation in the body? Periodontal disease. Oh. So it is the most common cause for chronic inflammation in the body. And as we mentioned, at the top of the show, or at last show, that half of the U.S. population over age 30 has some form of periodontal disease, and 70% of the American population over age 65 has some form of periodontal disease. So all of these millions and millions of people have chronic inflammation, not only affecting the local environment and their teeth and gums and damaging those structures, but also possibly causing distant, far-reaching, dire effects in the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to ask you this about the age of your typical patient. Now, I know it varies tremendously. You know, just like I asked where people come from to visit your office in Buckhead, and you said, well, from most of them are probably, you know, 20, 30 miles from our office, but we certainly have people who come from the North Georgia Mountains, and we have somebody who comes from, where was it, Barbados or something?
Virgin Islands.
Okay, so I know that it varies, but there is like a, you know, a wheelhouse, a sweet spot on the bat. What would you say is the sweet spot on the bat for your practice?
It varies by case type and what the actual condition is. Sue, I think you're well suited to take this.
I think for gum disease, routine garden variety, that average to moderate case, that patient's age is probably 40 to 60. Some of the cases we talked about in last week's show, they can start younger with different, more genetic or predisposed forms of gum, but 40 to 60, average adult routine garden variety gum disease. Gum grafting, which is something we do a lot of, where someone's lacking gum tissue and they need more tissue, thicker tissue grafted in. I don't know that there's an average range for that. That
it's across
really
the
does.
Board.
That really is across the board.
When you graft it in, where do you graft it from? Where are you getting it from?
Different sources.
Different places.
Yeah.
We'll devote a whole show on it, believe me.
Yeah, we can come back and talk about that.
What about cosmetic tissue sculpting cases?
Cosmetic tissue sculpting cases are fun. Those patients, some people are born with gummy smiles. We were talking, I think, on last week's show about genetic forms of gum disease.
I'm looking at a picture of a few of them. You know?
Yeah, you see someone smile and all of a sudden it's just a lot of gums and little bitty, itty bitty, looks like they're 10-year-old teeth. That's someone who came into this world with just extra gum tissue, and we sculpt that tissue away. We have fun with those cases. They're beautiful. They're exciting. We see a lot of teenage girls, young girls in their 20s. I'm getting married. I've always hated my gummy smile. I want to correct this before my wedding pictures.
It's a self-esteem issue.
For some people, it can be, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Some of them, it's just I want to be prettier.
How about the ones who, like, they can't even... I've known people who they can't open their mouth to laugh.
We do have patients
like that.
They're so
self-conscious. They cover their mouth when they laugh.
Yeah, and I mean, my heart, I just really gravitate toward those patients. We're seeing a patient now who's just grabbed our hearts, and it's meaning a lot to her to have some very ugly dentistry removed. We referred her to a good dentist. She does have gum disease. She has lost teeth. We're going to be eventually putting implants in for her. And every time we see her psychological transformation.
Wow.
She's smiling a little more.
How old is she?
40-something. Beautiful lady. Lovely husband. He cares. He comes to every visit with her. He's tired of her feeling unconfident, of not smiling. And she's that typical mom. Has spent years taking her kids to the dentist every 6 months, making sure her husband goes, and she never took care of herself. It's really fun to be a part of those cases.
Yeah. How wonderful. Dr. Edelstein, so do you sometimes have to come in and fix up what somebody else has messed up? And maybe that wasn't intentional. Maybe
sure.
They weren't reckless, but it just wasn't a good result, you know?
Sure. Now that I've been doing this for 30 years, I've seen many, many cases like that. And there's a maturity, there's a learning curve, and that goes along with the maturity aspect of where I am in practice. And what I have found over the years that the majority of cases that don't look right, that didn't go right, it may not be at the fault of the dentist at all. You'd be surprised. At first, when I went into practice, I was not critical openly, but in my mind, I thought that someone may have done something in an improper way, and then I started treating the patient. And that's the patient that has to get up and go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. That's the patient that's jumping and bouncing around. That's the patient that can't open wide.
So you can see.
The name of the show, Open Wide.
You can see. Yeah.
So then when I was in the position of that dentist, I realized that the case may have been compromised due to no fault at all of the dentist. And I see that more commonly than not, that a lot of these cases that don't look right, it is commonly not the fault of the dentist. Sometimes it is, in which case we try to get people to move on and move past it, and now they're in good hands and they have a better opportunity. But a lot of times it's not anyone's obvious fault.
All right, we have to go take another break, folks. You know, I was listening to a talk show host, in this town, very famous talk show host. I won't mention his name. But he's also a lawyer. He practiced law. He stopped practicing at one point. He was still a young man, but he ended the practice of law. He was making enough money as a talk show host to do pretty well without having to practice law. But I heard him say one time on the show that one of the reasons, and I'm not quoting because I want to be accurate here, but he said he never knew which one of his clients was going to turn on him, because this can happen. You know, they can be your best friend at one point, and then I don't know what it is. You know what it is? Sometimes they talk to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, who's influencing them. I've seen this happen.
That does happen, yeah.
Oh, boy, does it happen. And it's just, we're in such a litigious society today. It's, you know, anybody can go after anybody and threaten anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my little editorialization. I promise we're going to end on a good note today, folks. We do have to take a break, though. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, a licensed periodontist. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And maybe we should remind our listeners again about an upcoming lecture that you have, I guess a seminar or whatever you want to call it. It's on Thursday, September 10th, coming right up. It's at Brio, which is one of my favorite restaurants. I love...
Great restaurant.
Love that restaurant.
They do a great job.
And they have a
really
terrific back room. And mm-hmm. it'll be about everything you wanted to know about implants.
It'll be appetizers, something to...
Heavy appetizers and a cash bar. And it'll be an information about implants, dental implants.
And that's at 6:30 in the evening.
Not other types of implants, but dental implants. I have to emphasize that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to ask you separately about the other. Never mind. So it's at 6:30 at night, and they need to register with you in advance.
Yes,
I mean, it's only
they need to call the office, And we'll give the number in just a minute, or visit the website and email Sue or call Sue and register.
MyGumDoc.com.
Yeah.
We'd love to. And you said sometimes with these lectures, when they're asking questions, they say it like in the third person, you know what I mean? I've got a friend, he or she or whatever it is that you know that it's them. But do you sometimes get people coming up to you afterwards, just individually, one-on-one?
Always.
They don't want to talk in front of the whole group, but they do want to ask you a question about their own
condition.
They're
uncomfortable, you know, talking in front of a group, or they want some private time or a little personal bit of information from Dr. Edelstein. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Did they ever say to you, look, I just want you to know up front, I'm a real baby about this kind of, I'm 6'3" and I'm 230 pounds. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm 3 years old and I need to be treated like a
always.
Child.
Yeah.
That always happens.
Yeah.
And we always will help them get the treatment that they need.
Isn't it nice when they say to you afterwards, though, whew, man, this was a lot easier than, this is so much better than I thought it would be.
That happens every single day with us, Jeff. And I don't know if it's because we take extra time to do our procedures, we're extra kind to the tissues, we gravitate toward procedures that are easier. What would you do if I told you that probably 70% of the implants that I place are without making an incision?
Wow. And that's, I know that.
Yes, 70% of the ones that I place, I can't speak for everyone, but we will do the grafting necessary to create the bone and the environment, you know, enough bone and tissue underneath, and then we place the implant through a tiny little opening the size of the implant. That way, there's no discomfort, there's no swelling, people are back to work the next day without any issue at all.
Can they, and you said you have people who sometimes have their entire mouth as implants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like quite an elaborate set of procedures.
It is, but it is a heck of a lot better than full dentures.
Yeah.
It's a life-changing experience for that patient.
Mm. We're just about out of time. Let me bring up this special offer that you have for the public, because I think it's wonderful. It's a new patient special. It's $129. What do they get for the $129? Because I know it's worth $650.
Yeah, they can come into the office, spend an hour and a half if need be with Dr. Edelstein, usually myself, and they will get a full, thorough diagnostic evaluation. It will include probing around every tooth, whatever x-rays they need, whether it's one or a full set. It's not one size fits all. We do intake what we need and what that patient needs. If they need a CT scan for us to evaluate, are they a great candidate for dental implants? That CT scan is included. Dr. Edelstein does do a lot of diagnostic photography for our cosmetic cases, the gummy smile we were talking about earlier, people who need gum grafting. We use diagnostic photographs to help them kind of understand their conditions better and plan and draw lines and show them where it will land, what it will look like. It includes all of that.
Wow.
And
it's worth $650, too.
It can be. Once by the time you charge for a CT scan, say you take a full set of x-rays, a comprehensive exam, and then we need photographs to boot, they can. You know, and we began to hear from patients, you know, and dental insurance, which will be a subject of another show, is becoming less and less helpful and beneficial. And we just felt like we needed to do something to create better access.
All right, we're almost out of time.
Yes.
Real quick, Sue Skipper, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Because your background is as a hygienist, although you're not doing much hygienic work now, but have you ever found that sometimes the hygienist knows the patient in a certain, in a different way than the doctor does?
Very much so. You would be amazed. I mean, I love people, so I enjoy that part of dental hygiene or dentistry, but you would be amazed at what patients tell you sometimes. I mean, it's really, you do get to know their kids, their families, where they went on vacation. It's a relationship. They're coming to see us quite frequently, especially here at the periodontal office. So if you don't like people, you're really in the wrong profession. But it's pretty, we could do a reality show sometimes on the things that we hear from our patients,
Dr.
which
Edelstein,
I don't have time to go
agree
into.
Agree with what Sue just said?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
We can have a lot of fun in a day.
Yes, that could be a reality show for sure.
On that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. I want to remind our audience that on Thursday, September 10th, it's coming right up at 6:30, you're going to have a lecture, Dr. Edelstein. And it's about implants,
yes,
which we're all interested in. And unfortunately, I'm at the age where you know, who knows, it could be just over the horizon. It's going to be at Brio, one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah,
a wonderful, wonderful location on Peachtree. Plenty of parking available there. On the 10th, 6:30, make your reservation in advance, folks. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. I've had a lot of fun today. I hope you two have enjoyed
it
as well.
It's been terrific.
All right. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Tuesdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.